Campus FM jippreżenta Fantazija Barokka. Program ta' mużika mis-sekli 17 u 18. Kitba produzzjoni u prezentazzjoni ta' Silvio Camilleri.
Insellem is-semija ta' Campus FM u natikom merħba għal dan il-programm Fantazija Barokka. Fil-programm tal-lum ser nifokaw fuq il-kompożitur Monsignor Antonino Reggio li twilet f'Katania fl-1725. Barra milli kien kompożitur, Reggio kien ukoll assis u kien idoq il-harpsichord u l-violonċell. Illum ser nitkellmu dwar dan il-kompożitur u l-mużika tiegħu ma' Sir Anthony Hart li huwa membru tas-Soċjetà Italjana di Mużikoloġija u li pubblika riċerka tiegħu fil-mużikoloġija f'diversi rivisti internazzjonali. Anthony Hart illum il-ġurnata jgħixha hawn Malta imma twilet barra minn Malta u allura din l-intervista ser nagħmluha bl-Ingliż. Hello Anthony, first of all I would like to thank you for accepting to share with us your findings about the composer Monsignor Antonino Reggio. First of all, given that Antonino Reggio is quite an obscure character, how did you discover this composer?
I think it's really like most discoveries, accident. I was looking for something else at the time, and I was looking through the online catalogue of RISM. They catalogue all of the manuscripts in libraries throughout the world. And I came across his name accidentally, and I'd never heard of him. So I contacted some colleagues of mine in Italy, music colleges, and they'd never heard of him before. So I thought, this is interesting. I found a composer that nobody's heard of. Mm-hmm. And I just started from there looking at I found that he composed a lot of works. So there was 18 manuscripts in Germany of his works, containing some 150 individual works. So he was quite an interesting composer, and the music was interesting as well. So I just started from there, trying to follow him, find who he was for a start, and then worked on building up knowledge of him over the years.
I see. Now, as a convention, we denote the year 1750 as the end of the Baroque period. Would you argue that Reggio's music composed after this date still discloses Baroque characteristics?
I think so. I think basically he falls into three different categories. One prior to 1750, and that's when he was studying for the priesthood. And most of his output was sacred music. And that was basically the same style as of about 10, 15 years earlier than that. Bearing in mind he was an amateur composer, he wasn't sort of in the front line of composers. His other works, I think he really picked up on the style of the time. You know, he heard music and then adapted what he heard. And this is particularly in his keyboard works from about the mid-1750s onwards. He was in Portugal at the time, and he was hearing the music of that particular period for the Portuguese piano, and so his works reflect that type of music. Then he moved back to Rome in the 1760s, and he started writing for arias based on popular arias from the operas of the time. So it was what was required for his friends and other areas of nobility. And then towards the end of his life, it was a very short life. He died when he was 55, in 1780. And the other works are typical of the period, I think. You know, he wasn't copying the period, but it was absorbing the music of the period.
Thanks, Anthony. Hawnhekk tajjeb li ngħaddu biex nisimgħu xi mużika ta' Antonino Reggio permezz ta' sonata in F major, eseguita mill-organist Diego Cannizzaro fuq l-organi tal-Knisja ta' San Domenico in Corleone f'Palermo. Smajna sonata in F major ta' Antonino Reggio, eseguita mill-organist Diego Cannizzaro, fuq l-organi tal-Knisja ta' San Domenico f'Corleone f'Palermo. Dan huwa Campus FM li xandar fuq frekwenza ta' 103.7, infakkarkom li qegħdin fil-kumpanija tiegħi Silvio Camilleri waqt il-programm Fantasija Barokka, magħna fl-istudio illum hawn ukoll Sir Anthony Hart li qed ikellimna dwar ir-riċerka tiegħu dwar il-kompożitur Antonino Reggio. Now, Anthony, in your website dedicated to the composer, you list a series of works by Antonino Reggio, which include keyboard, vocal, and instrumental compositions. Are the scores of these works actually available, or do we simply know about them through references in other sources? And could you give us a brief background to these works?
Yes, they are available. They are arranged in his original form in the Diocesan Bibliothek in Münster. It's part of the Santini collection, acquired by Fortunato Santini in the early 1800s. We don't know how he actually acquired Reggio's library, but there's all of his originals in there. And there are copies in other libraries throughout Europe, mainly in Italy, in Germany, and in Portugal as well.
So the presence of copies means that his music travelled around the continent.
Well, yes, but I think they travelled with him, I think, more than anything. The German one, the ones in Rome, there's a copy in Rome, and that, I believe, it was a copy for the singers. It's part of the vocal quartets, and I think that was a copy then required by the singers, by the family. The one in Portugal is a copy in his own hand of, again, the vocal quartets, and that was a presentation to the King of Portugal. He was the courier to the Apostolic Nuncio in Portugal, in Lisbon, during the 1750s, and in 1770 he presented a copy of this, that's in his own hand. And then there is one, actually, six of his keyboard sonatas actually printed. They were printed privately in Amsterdam in 1776. We don't know how they've got to Amsterdam, and there is also some works in Germany looking as though they were prepared for printing, but they never actually got printed. So I think most of the works, the manuscripts, they were with him at that particular time. I don't think they migrated into Europe as such, other than these printed works, which are still a mystery at the moment.
I see. And you've seen these manuscripts?
Yes, I have. I've seen the ones in Munster. I have copies of those. And in Lisbon as well. I haven't seen the Roman one yet. That's in Firenze, actually, now. A private collection in Rome. But I've got copies of those. And there's also a copy of the quartets in the Library of Monte Cassino. I have not seen that, other than I have got copies of those. I've got digital copies of those.
Okay, you mentioned that one of his manuscripts he presented to the King of Portugal. What could have been the purpose of this? Career prospects, maybe?
I don't think so, because he was a priest. By 1770, he was quite established. He was quite. I'm still trying to look into his work as a priest in Rome. At that particular time. So I don't think it was that. It comes back, it all stems back to his time in Portugal. He was the courier to the Apostolic Nuncio in Coria, and it was during the time of the suppression of the Jesuits. And he was taking messages backwards and forwards to Rome with what was going on in Portugal at that time. And at the Apostolic Nuncio was retiring, but because of the problems out there, he couldn't leave at the time he wanted. Now, it was normal for the Apostolic Nuncio to be made up to cardinal. So in the November of 1756, I think it was, he was made up to cardinal, but he wasn't present at the Vatican. So Antonino Reggio actually took the cardinal's beretta back to Portugal, uh-huh, and presented it to him in Lisbon, and obviously that was in front of the king. So obviously he'd made, in that particular manuscript there's a dedication which actually mentions this particular type of, you remember me when I presented the beretta to the the apostolic nuncio at that particular time. And what happens then, in 1760, the Vatican or Rome cut off complete communication with Portugal for 10 years, 1770. And Reggio presents this manuscript in 1770. So I think it was now, there was this diplomatic relationship between Rome and Portugal, and maybe it was just a gift. He actually says, this is a small gift, I'd like to remember me, and this is, I like to present this small gift to you. But it's a bit interesting because it's actually written, composed in 1764 for three members of the Roman nobility, the Astali sisters. And that the original actually says that. In his dedication to this manuscript that went to the king, he says, this has been written over the last few months for you.
Oh.
So we're not quite sure, really, what was going on in his mind at the time. Okay. I don't think it was patronise or anything like that. I think it was maybe there was a good rapport at the time, and then now the relationship, diplomatic relationship, was established back with Portugal, and I think it was just a sort of a friendly gesture. But it's interesting, actually, to read between the lines, I think, for that particular manuscript. That's why I think that's quite an important manuscript within the collection. It's in his own hand. He actually rewrote it. He copied out again, an exact copy of his original, and with this dedication.
I see. So it's your task as a researcher to sort of look into this written evidence, and you do your work sort of like a jigsaw puzzle, right?
That's right. Clues. I always look at it like a detective, looking at very small clues within the manuscript. Fortunately, most of the information I managed to build up, Reggio has presented it himself with annotations on his manuscripts, dates, places, names of people, and by using those and following those through, one has been able to put together a quite comprehensive biography of him, you know, and to follow up all these little clues of reason why, when, where, or why he was doing these things.
In fact, you've published a short monograph about Antonio Reggio, right?
That's correct, yes.
Well, you give a background to his...
Well, again, it's based on this particular manuscript that I've just been discussing, of the quartets. It's quite unusual because most of he was an amateur musician, writing for himself, writing for his friends or members of the... He came from a noble family, and he was associated with noble families, so they're all dedicated to members of noble families. And it was probably performed in small soirees, other than talking big public. But nearly all of his works, except for a few, are just still in the original form, the sketch form, within his particular library he's played for himself. This particular manuscript is available in three different versions. One is the original, which is in Munster. The second one was in a private collection in Rome. And I say, I think that was written for one of the singers. And then this one in Portugal. So I tried to put together the background to these three manuscripts and to look at also the works. They are quartets based on duets from operas, from popular operas of the time. And I tried to look both on the manuscript point of view and to look at the music itself. They are typical of what was called a sonata notturno, where as two singers are singing a third apart and two singers sing a sixth apart. Mm-hmm. And this follows through. So he's using this particular style throughout these by using these duets in the quartets. They're really nice because there's the two singers, two sopranos sing the leading role. A soprano and a contralto sing the second part in the answering. And then when the duet comes in, it's a four-part performance. And they're rather nice. And then I looked at the background, where they came from, and the duets and the background to the actual opera that they came from. Published that about 3 years ago.
Okay, are these operas renowned operas or maybe obscure?
Yes. No, they're very well-known operas. The operas that were being performed at the time.
I see.
And so The most of the operas he would be maybe aware of. The people he wrote them for would have been aware of the way that they were popular from there. So he just actually chosen these particular types. The other one was I managed to look through, I believe I found all copies of his works. There are some missing ones. Santini himself published a catalogue in 1815 of the works that's in his library. 4,000 works, I think he actually had. But they were just lists, but he lists them against the composer. And there are several, especially early sacred works, which don't seem to appear anywhere at the moment. So they may be sitting somewhere in a library. But as far as I know at the moment, with the years I've been working on, I think I've managed to find all of the works, and I managed to put those together into a thematic catalogue, which is my second publication that was published last year.
Okay, thank you, Anthony. Na duessan xoliħor ta' Antonino Reggio, issa ser nisimgħu sonata in D minor for violoncello and continuo, li ser tiġi segwita minn Salvatore Carciolo, li doq il-violoncell, flimkien ma' Lo Specchio di Narciso.
Thank you.
Smajna sonata in D minor for violoncello and continuo, eseguita minn Salvatore Carciolo li da il-violoncell flimkien ma' lo Specchio di Narciso. Anthony, do you think that Reggio's sojourn in Portugal, Spain and Rome affected his musical output? And were these travels related to his musical activities?
Definitely. I think certainly the trip to Portugal. When we examine his keyboard sonatas, there was a period of time on dating. Most of his manuscripts are dated, except for the early keyboard sonatas. There's five volumes of those. The first four are undated. The last one's dated in Rome in 1774. The others, I think there is an influence there. I've been working with a colleague in Portugal, Dr. Patricia Bastos. Now, she is an expert on the Portuguese piano. Now, basically what happened there, the piano was invented by Cristoforo in Italy in the 1750s. But it wasn't supported in Italy. They may still cater with harpsichord. So he took them to Spain and taught his piano, his invention, to Spain and Portugal. And it really took off in Portugal. And a lot of works, even some of Scarlatti's works, were actually written for the Portuguese piano. They developed into Portugal, the first early piano as opposed to harpsichord. And Dr. Bastos is convinced that the early works were written for the Portuguese piano. Usually one or two movements. Well, these early ones are three or four movements, which reflect the style of the music that has been played. And also it's a very pianistic style as opposed to harpsichord style. And so I think certainly these ones, he was influenced. These particular manuscripts are undated, which is unusual for Reggio. So we believe they were conceived, at least, in the early 1750s while he was in Portugal. This is reflected, in fact, by a statement. As I said, there are six sonatas that were actually published. They're published in Amsterdam in 1776. It was a private production, and the person who actually produced it put an advert into the local paper advertising these, and he was saying that these sonatas are in the new style. Now, bearing in mind the piano was just moving into Northern Europe mm-hmm. in the 1770s. So it was in Spain and Portugal in the 1750s. So effectively, it would be a new style. So mm-hmm. again, this reflects that maybe it was recognised that these were in this new style for piano as opposed to harpsichord. So that's backed up, and I say Dr. Bastos is very adamant that these are for the Portuguese, and she's doing a lot of work with me on studying those particular manuscripts for a critical study of them as well. So this is backing up my research as well. As far as the arias are concerned, these were popular operas of the time in Rome, in Europe, as well as Portugal. He may have heard some of those in Portugal. In fact, his uncle, who was the ambassador to Portugal in a decade before that, was very much involved in promoting early opera in Spain. And he was the ambassador to Portugal and Spain, mainly Spain. And I think, again, this had an influence then on him working on these arias. There are some, not only had his own compositions, but also in his library, he had a large library. And he collected works as well. In the 1750s, he collected a lot of contemporary composers of arias, operatic arias. So I think he was using these maybe to, not to copy, but more to be able to sort of see what was going on, how to compose, how other people were composing, and then he adapted his own style to those as well, from people around him. The keyboard sonatas, the last volume, which is of 24 sonatas, are definitely look like keyboard, look like harpsichord sonatas. We know in Rome, he was met in Rome in 1770 by the English musicologist, the musician Charles Burney, and he mentions that he owned three harpsichords. And so I think he was composing for the harpsichord then, because that's what he had. And I think it's a matter, and like the sacred works, he was composing for the what was happening, the choirs, the orchestra in the church at the time, and the same with the keyboard sonatas. That was the instruments he had on him at the time.
Do you think it is strange that he composed for the piano and then reverted to the harpsichord, which was quite an outdated instrument to use that term?
But again, we only can look at the style. Maybe you still had that in mind of the piano. I don't know. Piano was coming at that time. He, as I said, he did own harpsichords. So I think in that last volume, I say he was composing for himself. You know, I got the harpsichord, I play some music. So that's what he had at the time, you know.
Ed din fil-kumpanija ta' Campus FM waqt il-programm Fantasija Barokka fl-istudio illum miegħi Silvio Camilleri hawn ukoll is-Sur Anthony Hart li qed ikellimna dwar ir-riċerka tiegħu dwar il-kompożitur Antonino Reggio. Now Anthony, some years ago, actually in 2013, you published the thematic catalogue in respect of this composer Antonino Reggio. Could you elaborate about this publication?
Yes, I decided especially from the keyboard sonatas, there are 72 of them, and so it's very difficult to identify. So if it's a sonata in C minor, which one was it? So what I decided to do was to look at all of his works, try to put into chronological order. That was fairly easy, chronological order and into the different genres. So we had the sacred music, secular arias, the keyboard music, and the instrumental music, and the way he wrote, they follow chronologically. So what I decided to do was, I believe I have found all of the manuscripts that I can find at the moment. I think I have found them all. So I decided then to put them together and then to try and catalogue them. So they had a particular reference number. So we knew it was in C minor, it was a particular number. I decided to, in a lot of cases, the actual cataloguer used his name. I think in this case with Mozart's music and other people's. So I decided it may be a bit of vanity. Mm-hmm. I decided to give these HR numbers, so that's Hart Reggio mm-hmm. numbers, and I started number 1 to 158. And I tried to put these into different genres, different chronological order. I tried to follow, there's no set pattern for thematic catalogues. There's various ideas. What I tried to do is to try to put ideas from different thematic catalogues to what the usage, so people could see, hear work, find the details about that. So it gives the detail of the name, the key, the instrumentation, a small insipid of the music, first few bars of music, references to other copies and which library they're in, and alternative libraries, and any other notes that I come working through them and try to work through there. I tried to make it universal, so the introduction was done in 5 different languages, English, Italian, German, French and Spanish, to try and make it a little bit more interesting and spectacle from there, but the rest of it obviously is in English.
Now, when you consider the compositions of Antonino Reggio, in the context of the music which was being written in Europe around that time, would you say that Reggio was conversant with the latest musical developments?
I think he was, yes. As I mentioned before, that he was listening and hearing what was going on around him at the time. Certainly, although we know very little about him, because he was an individual, he was a priest, he was doing his ecclesiastical work. He wasn't sort of well known as many other composers, but from inference of, say, reading between the lines of what I managed to find out, I think he was very popular in Rome at the time, and I think this comes from Burney's description of him. He was known to the English nobility over there, out there at the time in the 1750s. 1770s, and he was introduced to him, so I think he was well known. I think he also was a member of one of the academias in Rome, and also frequented these salons, the educated people of the time. And so I think he was part of his group of people within Rome. So obviously he was very much involved with cultural activities, let's say, within Rome. So I think he picked up from that what was going on, yes.
Tajjeb naddu għal-aktar mużika ta' Antonino Reggio, issa ser nisimgħu sonata in G major, eseguita mill-organist Diego Cannizzaro. Smajna sonata in G major ta' Antonino Reggio, eseguita mill-organist Diego Cannizzaro fuq l-organi tal-Knisja ta' San Domenico in Corleone f'Palermo. Infakkarkom li qed tisimgħu il-programm Fantasija Barokka fuq Campus FM fejn qegħdin fil-kumpanija tiegħi Silvio Camilleri flimkien mal-mistieden tagħna Anthony Hart. Now, Anthony, as a person who is researching the life and works of a composer who lived around 300 years ago, what practical problems do you encounter in your work?
I think the big problem is that he was virtually unknown. So one has to start right from scratch. I started off with his manuscripts. They gave me a lot of clues. Because at the moment, he had the Italian name, so I thought maybe it's Italian. I didn't know initially because he was Sicilian. So again, from the manuscripts, many of the early ones are dedicated to Sicilian nobility in Palermo. So I put two and two together. One of the pieces was written for the Principessa di Campofiorito, which is just outside of Palermo, which happens to have the surname of Reggio, and it turned out eventually it was his aunt. So again, that linked the names. I found those then that linked me back through to Acicatina in Sicily. Fortunately, I made then contact with a historian in there, and he came up with the birth details of Antonino. Then I followed, so we established then he was in Sicily and part of the family. Then there was a gap. Then again, going back to the manuscripts, there was all his sacred works from 1745, 1750, and a gap of 13 years. Mm-hmm. So what happened to him then? And then finding, again, by chance, this manuscript in Lisbon filled up that 13 years. So again, we followed up from that. Again, from the manuscript, I was able to work backwards from the names he used and the dates. Then it is a matter just of picking up clues as you go along and trying to find them. There were periods of time, I've been looking at this research about 15 years now, and there's periods of time where you get nowhere and you almost feel like giving up. But then something else just crops up. It's a lot of it's pure luck. A lot of it is fortunate with modern technology of the internet, and especially Google Books. Google Books, over the last 3 or 4 years, have been scanning and publishing a lot of 18th century books, and also they're searchable. So again, every so often one searches those and finds a very small reference to something in there, and then use those to follow up. I would say without the internet, without that, then I think it would be almost impossible to achieve a lot of the work because of finding them, because he wasn't well known, and it's just a matter of finding small references and then following up. There's still some gaps in the research still to do, especially at the time he was in Rome and his ecclesiastical duties. It was only, in fact, at Christmas, just after Christmas, I actually found a reference to his funeral. So I took 15 years to find his date of death. And that was just happened in what we might call it, the Vatican Yellow Pages. It was published in all from the Pope right the way through all the household, the Vatican household, and his name appears in there. And in 1770, it gives a reference to his funeral. But again, that's purely by chance that in the back end of last year that Google actually digitized this particular book from American University and came up with it. To have found that information without that would be almost, I say, impossible, because you don't know where to look, there's very little reference to any particular places to find, you know. So it's been very difficult. It's been rewarding because you do find a lot of information all of a sudden. It gives you more clues. Now, I'm working on this period of his time in Rome. I know now where he was buried. I know the date. I know he was a member of a confraternity. So, again, that could be followed through. So this is, you just follow through there. But as I said, it's difficult. It's taken me 15 years to get to this stage now, where some years have just been blank all the way through, and it goes from there. So and I think it's really because of he was obscure, and he wasn't in the front line of music. So there's only two references in the whole of in it published as a musician. One is by Charles Burney. He mentions in his travels in 1770 of four meetings with him. There he's mentioned it in a private letter with a German, a Italian poet, but that private letter survived and was published, and it's in a book at the time. Mm-hmm. So that was luck to find that, so that's into. And also he's listed in 1770, the young Mozart visited Rome with his father, and Leopold Mozart kept a list of people he met, and there's a Monsignor Reggio listed there. Until my research on Reggio, nobody knew who this Reggio was. There's a few surmises of who he might be, but it's obviously him. I think he was patronised by Pallavicino, who was he's the Secretary of State at that particular time, but he was Reggio's boss in Spain. Before, as an apostolic nuncio, then he became cardinal, then he became secretary of state. And I think it was a sort of patronism from him. But again, these are all just sheer luck of finding them through there. So to be actually put together, I'd like to find a lot more, but where to start looking for this information? You know, so it's very difficult, very difficult.
Okay, so the next work we shall listen to by Antonino Reggio is Salve Regina. Could you elaborate about this work and the recording which we are going to listen to?
Yes, the Salve Regina is interesting because this was the one, from my point of view, that led me to actually finding out the family he came from. His uncle was the ambassador of Naples to Spain, Sicily, Naples to Spain. And when he retired, he moved back to Sicily via Naples. While he was in Naples, his wife was taken very ill, and she actually died in Naples. About the same time as that, Antonino Reggio actually composed to his aunt this particular piece. Now, it's dated a few weeks before her actual death. So I think it was there, and it dedicated and probably played from there. So this was something that really put through. It's a lovely piece. It's for soprano, two violins, viola, cello, basso continuo, and a soprano. And it's got some lovely pieces in it. What we decided to do, a colleague of mine in Sicily, has been researching the noble line of the Reggio family. I sort of through Antonino's uncle, and he had come up with a presentation about the history, and he'd used background music, but he'd used Mozart and a few others, and it wasn't Sicilian music. So I suggested he used some of Antonino's music as a background, especially when he was talking about Antonino's aunt at the time when she died. And so I had a word with a local group that's Rebecca Farrugia, flautist. She has a small group, Camerata Galatea. And we decided, we got permission from the Manuel Theatre to use their harpsichord and to use the theatre for the recording. It was a very simple recording. And instead of the voice, we used the flute to get it. So we had this back user that really for them, for the background music to this presentation. I'm hoping that later this year or later on, we might be able to do it properly with vocalists. But it's a lovely piece.
Thanks, Anthony. Mela naddu biex nisimaw il-ftuħ ta' Salve Regina ta' Antonino Reggio li ser tiġi segwita fil-verżjoni strumentali mill-Kamerata Galatea, jiġifieri Rebecca Farrugia Hall li ddoq il-flaut u Philip Walsh fil-parti tal-basso kontinuo.
Thank you.
Smajna il-ftuħ ta' Salve Regina tal-kompożitur Antonino Reggio, eseguita mill-kamerata Galatea, jiġifieri Rebecca Farrugia Hall li daqqet il-flaut, u Philip Walsh fil-parti tal-basso kontinuo. Anthony, I would like to thank you for your contribution to this program. Your information about Antonino Reggio was very informative to us and very interesting to listen to.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's been an opportunity to promote his works, which I've been trying to do over the last few years, and this gives me an opportunity actually to talk about him. Thank you.
It's part of the role of Campus FM to promote such research. Għawnek intemmu l-program tal-lum, jekk tixtiequ tgħidulna xi kummenti dwar dawn il-programmi napprezzaw jekk tagħmlu dan permezz tal-posta elettronika fuq l-indirizz campusfm@um.edu.mt. Infakarkom ukoll li tistgħu terġgħu tisimgħu il-programmi ta' Campus FM billi titħlu fis-sit www.maltauniversitybroadcasting.com. Minnaħa tiegħi nixtieq nirringrazzja l-Student Nihart tal-informazzjoni li għaddilna kif ukoll l-tekniku li kellna magħna llum is-Sur Samuel Attart. Jiena nħeġġiġkom terġgħu tkunu miegħi l-ġimgħa d-dieħla u sadak it-tant insemmilkom.
Smajtu Fantazija Barokka. Programm kitba bi produzzjoni u prezentazzjoni ta' Silvio Camilleri.